angrily falling, but I didn't stop. We blew through the final set of stairs and burst out the door, my brain finally spewing out something helpful, reminding me that I had a weapon. Bloodstone. It could kill a wolven if the heart or head were struck, just like a craven. My feet pounded off the frozen ground as I yanked the dagger free. The stables! Phillips ran, his coat billowing out behind him like waves of black water. Hawk! Had Kieran done something to Hawk? My heart lurched. The howl from above shattered the early morning silence, jerking up my head just as the wolven came over the railing. He landed on the ground behind us, letting out another spine-tingling howl. From the woods or from the keep, I heard an answer, a roar that sent a bolt of cold terror through me. There was more than one. Gods! I gasped, pushing harder than I'd ever pushed before. There was no way I was leaving here without Hawk, but I needed to get as far away from that thing as possible. That was all I could focus on, because if I slowed down for even half a second, he would be on me. We rounded the corner, Phillips slipping but regaining his balance as we rushed toward the stables. Not a single guard in sight. And that wasn't right. There should be guards out at this time. I saw Luddy and the other guard. "Shut the doors," Phillips shouted as we exploded into the stables, startling the saddled horses. Shut the goddamn doors! The two men turned as I skidded to a stop, whipping around. I knew the moment they saw the wolven. Holy shit! Bryant whispered, the blood draining from his face. Kieran was gaining on us. I shot forward to one side of the doors just as Luddy and Bryant snapped out of their shock. Grasping one side along with Luddy, we swung it closed a second before Bryant and Phillips closed their side. "Bar it!" yelled Luddy, and the other two turned, grabbing the heavy wooden support. They brought it down, and the wood groaned into place. Panting, I backed up. I kept backing up until I walked into one of the poles. The hilt of the dagger pressed into my palm. I looked down at it, at the wolven bone. I jumped as the large double doors shuddered as the wolven crashed into them. "Is that what I think it is?" someone asked. I think it was Brian. "A wolven?" "Unless you know of another large wolf-like creature, then yes." Phillips turned as Kieran hit the door again, shaking the wooden slab. "That door isn't going to last. Is there another way out?" "There's a back door," Luddy came forward. "But the horses won't fit through it." "Fuck the horses," Bryant picked up his sword. "We get out of here first and foremost." "Have you all seen Hawk? He was called away in the middle of the night," I told them. Three sets of eyes settled on me, and I didn't care what they thought. "Have any of you seen him?" A wood board splintered as a clawed, fur-covered hand punched through. Kieran grabbed the chunk of wood, tearing it free.
"We need to go."
Philip started for me. I moved out of his way. "I'm not leaving until I find Hawk."
"Did you just see what I saw?"
Phillips demanded, his nostrils flaring. "You told me you understood what I was telling you. Hawk is one of them." "Hawk isn't a wolven," I argued.
"He isn't part of that?"
I pointed at the door as the wolven took out another section. "You were right about Kieran, but not Hawk. Have either of you seen him?"
"I have."
My head jerked toward the sound of the voice. A man stood in the shadows, and something inside me shrank back. He stepped into the light, shaggy brown hair, a trace of a beard, pale, winter blue eyes. A flash of pure, unadulterated rage pulsed through me. It was him. The man who'd killed Rylan was here, and he smiled.
"Told you I'd be seeing you again."
My gaze flicked over him, and my brows rose as the three guards pointed their swords at him.
"You seem to be missing a hand.
I wish I'd done that." He lifted his left arm that ended in a stump just above the wrist.
"I manage."
Those eerie pale eyes flicked to me as the sounds of Kieran ceased behind us.
I could only hope that was something that would put the odds of us walking out of this in our favor.
Remember my promise.
Bathe in my blood. Feast on my entrails, I said. I haven't forgotten.
Good, he rumbled, taking a step forward, because I'm about to make good on that promise.
Stay back, Phillips demanded. He's a wolven, I warned, now knowing there were at least three at the keep.
Smart girl,
the man said. Phillips held his ground.
I don't care what kind of ungodly creature you are. You take one more step and it will be your last.
Ungodly.
He threw his head back and laughed, lifting his arms at his sides.
We are created in the gods' very image. It is not us who are the ungodly ones.
Whatever you need to tell yourself to feel better, I replied, tightening my grip on the dagger. The head or the heart, right, Phillips?
Yes.
Phillips dipped his chin. Either will... Behind us, the slab splintered as the doors blew off their hinges, slamming into the sides of the barn. The horses reared, but tethered, they had no place to go. I twisted sideways, keeping my dagger pointed at the wolven as I looked, fully expecting to see Kieran tearing across the straw. What I saw almost brought me to my knees.
Hawk!
I cried out, too relieved to be embarrassed about how I sounded as I started toward him.
Thank the gods you're okay.
Stay back from him.
Phillips caught my arm. I went to pull free of Phillips as I saw that Hawk carried something in his hand. It looked like a curved bow, but it was mounted to a handle of some sort, and a bolt was already knocked, somehow held in place.
Whatever, it would work.
Kill him,
I shouted, slipping free of Phillips.
He was the one.
A hulking shape appeared behind him, so huge it nearly reached Hawk's chest. Kieran prowled toward him. My heartbeat stuttered.
Hawk, behind you,
I screamed. Phillips caught me around the waist, dragging me back as Hawk lifted the strange bow. Kieran was almost on him, and I didn't see any bloodstone on the bow. It wouldn't kill him. Hawk's gaze met mine.
It's okay.
Without any warning, Phillips was torn away from me. I fell forward, landing on my knees. My braid slipped over my shoulder as I looked behind me, half expecting to see the wolven with Phillips in his grasp. The wolven from the Queen's garden hadn't moved, but Phillips. Phillips was leaning against the pole, the sword lying on the straw. Wait, he was leaning because his feet weren't even touching the ground, and something dark dripped onto the straw. I looked up. I couldn't even scream as my stomach roiled. Hawk had fired the bow. I hadn't even seen him do it, but he had. The bolt had gone through Philip's mouth and through the pole, pinning him there. Shuddering, I heard Luddy shouting. I dragged my gaze from Phillips as I turned back to Hawk. In wolven form, Kieran stalked right past him, his large head low to the straw as he sniffed the air. Luddy charged him, but he lost his footing, falling forward. I took a breath, but pressure squeezed it right back out of me. Luddy hadn't tripped. The black bolt had caught him in the back. Stepping out from behind one of the horses was the guard who'd greeted us at the door the day before, Delano. He had those pale eyes, too, eyes that I now knew belonged to the wolven. He lowered the bow. Bryant bolted. Spinning around, he made a run for it, but he didn't make it far. Kieran crouched and then launched into the air. As sleek and as fast as any arrow, and just as accurate, he landed on Bryant's back, taking him to the straw. The guard didn't even have a chance to scream. The wolven bared his teeth and lunged. I cranked my head away at the wet crunch that echoed through the barn. Then there was silence. I saw the man who'd killed Ryland stride forward, his long-legged pace loose and relaxed. He smirked down at me.
I'm so glad I'm here to witness this moment.
Shut up, Jericho,
Hawk replied, tone flat. Slowly, I looked at Hawk. He stood where he'd stopped, the wind lifting and tossing those dark strands of hair back from his striking face. He appeared as he had when he'd left the room in the middle of the night, like he had hours before, when he'd kissed me, touched me, and held me in his arms. But he stood there with a bloodied wolven standing next to him. "Hawk?" I whispered, my free hand grasping at the damp straw under me. He stared at me, and my gift came alive. The invisible cord reached out, forming a connection, and I felt nothing from him. No pain, no sadness, nothing. I drew back, my chest rising and falling. Something had to be wrong with my gift. Only the Ascended lacked emotions. Not mortals, not Hawk. But it was like the connection had hit a brick wall as thick as the rise, as formidable as the wall I built around myself when I tried to keep my gift locked inside. Was he blocking me? Was that even possible?
"Please tell me I can kill her," Jericho said. "I know exactly what pieces I want to cut up and send back." "Touch her, and you will lose more than a hand this time."
The coldness in Hawk's tone chilled me to my very soul.
"We need her."
His gaze never left me.
"A lie."
Chapter 35. On my knees, I stared up at Hawk, hearing his words and seeing what was happening, but it was like my brain couldn't process any of it. Or my brain was processing it, and my heart was denying it. "We need her. Alive. We."
"You're no fun," Jericho muttered. "Have I told you that before?"
"A time or a dozen,"
Hawk answered, and I flinched. My entire body recoiled. His jaw tightened and he looked away, scanning the barn.
"This mess needs to be cleaned up."
Beside him, the wolven shook itself, a lot like a dog after coming in from the rain, and then it rose on its hind legs and shifted, fur curling inward to reveal skin that was thickening. Legs straightened, and fingers returned to their normal sizes. The jaw snapped back into place. Shirt lost somewhere. Kieran stood in torn breeches. The wound in his stomach from Philip's sword, nothing more than a pink mark. I sat back. Kieran twisted his neck from left to right, cracking it.
"This isn't the only mess that needs to be cleaned up."
A muscle flexed in Hawk's jaw as he looked at me.
"You and I need to talk."
"Talk?" A laugh escaped me, and it sounded all wrong.
"I'm sure you have a lot of questions," he replied,
and I heard a shade of the teasing tone I was familiar with. It caused me to flinch again. Where are the other two guards?"
"Dead,"
he answered without an ounce of hesitation as he rested the bow on his shoulder.
"It was an unfortunate necessity."
"I'm good at what I do, and what is that? Killing." I knew without a doubt that when he'd left the room, that was what he'd done. There was a buzzing in my ears as I became aware of others gathering behind him in the yard, their bodies still in the filtering morning sun. He took a step toward me.
"Let's—" "No!"
I popped to my feet, surprisingly steady. "Tell me what's going on here." Hawk stopped. When he spoke, his voice had softened just a fraction.
"You know what's going on here."
The next breath I took scorched my throat and lungs because I realized that I did. Oh, gods. I did know what was going on here. The buzzing increased as I saw Elijah standing outside, arms folded across his barrel chest. I saw Magda, one hand protectively cradling her baby bump as she stared into the barn, her face pinched with sympathy. and pity. You deserve so much more than what awaits you. That's what he'd said to me last night. And me, stupid, naive me, thought he'd meant my ascension. No, he'd meant this. Magda turned, brushing past Elijah as she walked back to the keep. Phillips was right, I said, my voice trembling as I said it, as I gave life to what I already knew.
He was?
Questioned Hawk, handing the strange bow to one of the men who'd appeared behind him.
I do believe Phillips had begun to figure things out,
Kieran answered, as he stared down at his stomach. The faint pink marks were already gone.
They were coming out of the room when I went back to check on her. She didn't seem to believe whatever it was he told her, though.
I hadn't.
I hadn't believed Phillips at all, because I believed Hawk. I trusted him. I trusted him with my life and with...
There was a sudden pain in my chest that felt as if someone had shoved a dagger through me. I looked down because it felt too real. But there was no blade, no bloody wound that equaled the agony radiating through me. When I looked up, a muscle flexed in Hawk's jaw.
Well, he's not going to be figuring anything out again.
Jericho gripped the bolt, tearing it free. Phillips slumped over. Jericho nudged the guard's body with his boot.
That's for sure.
I turned back to Hawk, feeling as if the ground were splitting and shifting beneath me. You're a dissenter.
A dissenter?
Elijah laughed deeply, causing me to jerk. Kieran smiled.
And here I said you were smart,
Jericho said. I ignored them. You're working against the Ascended. Hawk nodded. Another fissure formed in my chest. You knew this thing that killed Rylan.
Thing?
Chuffed Jericho.
I'm insulted.
Hawk said nothing. That sounds like your problem, not mine. I fully faced Hawk. I thought the Wolven were extinct. Hawk gave a casual shrug.
There are many things that you thought to be true that are not. However, while the Wolven aren't extinct, there aren't many left.
Did you know he killed Rylan? I shouted.
I thought I could speed this up and grab you, but we know how that turned out.
Jericho chimed in. My head snapped in Jericho's direction. Yes, I clearly remember how that turned out for you. His upper lip curled as a snarl of warning sent a wave of goosebumps through me.
I knew he was going to create an opening,
Hawk answered, drawing my gaze back to him. For you, to become my royal guard.
I needed to get close to you.
I sucked in a shuddering breath as my heart seemed to split open. Well, you succeeded at that, didn't you? That muscle in his jaw flexed again.
What you're thinking, you could not be further from the truth.
You have no idea what I'm thinking, I shot back, my hand tightening painfully around the dagger. And all of this? What? A trick? You were sent here to get close to me? Kieran's brows lifted.
Sent?
Hawk quieted him with a look, and Kieran rolled his eyes. I knew what he was going to say. You were sent by the Dark One.
I came to Macedonia with one goal in mind,
Hawk answered,
and that was you.
I shuddered. How? Why?
You'd be surprised how many of those close to you support Atlantia, who want to see the kingdom restored. Many who paved the way for me.
Commander Jansen? I suspected.
She's smart, Hawk said. Like I told you all.
The backs of my eyes burned, along with my throat and chest. Did you even work in the capital? Then something hit me as my gaze darted to Kieran. The night at the... I couldn't bring myself to say the Red Pearl. You knew who I was from the beginning.
I was watching you as long as you were watching me,
he said softly.
Even longer.
That blow nearly killed me. It was like my chest had shattered. I started to turn away, But I saw Jericho, who'd created a space for Hawk to gain more personal, intimate access to me. It clicked into place with a tremor that almost caused me to drop my dagger. You were planning this for a while.
For a very long time.
Hannes, my voice was thick, hoarse. He didn't die of a heart ailment, did he?
I do believe his heart did give out on him,
Hawk answered.
The poison he drank in his ale that night at the Red Pearl surely had something to do with it.
The buzzing was almost too much. Did a certain woman there help him with his drink? The same one that sent me upstairs?
Hawk didn't answer. Delano, on the other hand, said, I feel like I'm missing vital pieces here.
I'll fill you in later, Kieran commented. I was shaking. I could feel it. Just like I could feel the walls of the barn closing in on me. I was so incredibly naive.
Victor?
Hawk shook his head. Don't lie to me, I screamed. Did you know there'd be an attack on the right? Is that why you disappeared? Why you weren't there when Victor was killed?
The hollows of his cheeks became sharper. What I know is that you're upset. I don't blame you. But I've also seen what happens when you get really angry, he said, taking a step toward me, lifting his hands. There is a lot I need to tell.
The pain erupted out of me like it had the night of the rite when I turned on Lord Mazin. I had no control over myself. I moved out of instinct, cocking back my arm and throwing the dagger. This time I aimed for his chest. Hawk let out a curse as he stepped to the side, snatching the dagger out of the air. Someone behind him let out a low whistle as Hawk whirled on me, the look of disbelief on his face almost comical. But in the back of my mind, I'd known he would catch it. All I'd needed was a distraction so I could dip down and pick up Phillips's fallen sword. I swung out, aiming for the bastard who'd killed Rylan. Jericho jumped back, but he wasn't entirely fast enough. I cut him again, across the stomach this time. Bitch! Jericho cried out, clamping his remaining hand down on the gushing wound. I spun just as someone crashed into me from one side and then the other. My arm was twisted around. Something hot sliced across my stomach as I reared back, using my attacker's weight against them. They fell, arms still around me. I snapped my head, cracking my skull into their face. There was a yelp, and the hold loosened enough for me to tear free. I grabbed the sword from the straw and thrust it out blindly. I only saw a flicker of shock in the brown eyes of a male not too much older than me as he looked down. I yanked the sword free and spun, coming face to face with Hawk. I hesitated. Like a complete idiot, I hesitated, even though I knew he was working for the Dark One. He was a dissenter. Because of him, so very many innocent people were dead. Hannes, Rylan, Lauren, Dafina, Malessa. Gods, had he killed her? Victor.
That was very naughty,
Hawk chided, snatching the sword out of my hand as if I hadn't been holding on to it.
You are so incredibly violent.
He dipped his chin and whispered,
It still turns me on.
A scream of fury tore out of me as I jabbed my elbow out and up, snapping Hawk's head back.
Damn it,
he said, coughing. No, laughing. He was laughing.
Didn't change what I just said.
I spun and started for the doors, but skidded to a stop as Elijah appeared in front of me, having moved in a blink of an eye. He shook his head no, tisking softly under his breath. Turning, I saw Kieran, who looked bored. And I whirled, seeing an opening between the poles. I took off. Arms caught me around the waist, and I'd recognize that scent anywhere. Pine, dark spice, Hawk. And the hard earthen floor raced up toward my face. This was going to hurt. Bad. The impact never came. As agile as a cat, Hawk twisted so he took the brunt of the fall, but the landing still stunned me. For a moment, I couldn't move.
You're welcome, grunted Hawk.
Shrieking, I slammed the heel of my booted foot into his shin. His gasp of pain brought a savage smile to my face as I rolled, twisting, until my stomach screamed in protest. But I was able to turn in his loosened hold. I straddled him. Hawk grinned up at me, the dimple in his right cheek appearing.
I'm liking where this is headed.
I punched him in the face, right in the goddamn dimple. Pain lanced across my knuckles, but I drew my arm back. Hawk caught my wrist and yanked me down until my body was almost flush with his.
You hit like you're angry with me.
I shifted, jamming my knee down between his legs and aiming for a very sensitive area. He anticipated the move, and my knee hit him in the thigh.
That would have done some damage, he told me.
Good,
I growled. Now, you'd be disappointed later if I couldn't use it.
For a moment, I couldn't believe he'd actually said that. But he had. He totally had. I would rather cut it from your body.
Liar,
he whispered. The sound that came from inside me would have scared me if it had come from anyone else. I jumped up, breaking his hold. I went to bring my foot down on his throat, but Hawk caught it and pulled. I went down, landing on my side. Pain flared, but I ignored it as I slammed my fist into his side.
Damn!
Kieran drew the word out.
Should we intervene?
Delano asked, sounding concerned.
No,
Elijah answered with a chuckle. This is the best thing I've seen in a while.
Who would have thought the maiden could throw down? This is why you don't mix business with pleasure,
Kieran commented.
Is that the case?
Elijah whistled.
My money's on her then, traitors,
gasped Hawk, rolling me until he was on top. I went for his face, but he caught my wrists.
Stop it.
I tried to lift my hips, and when that didn't work, I pushed my upper body up. It took everything in me, and he simply pinned my wrists to the straw.
Get off me! Stop it,
he repeated.
Poppy, stop. I hate you!
I screamed at the sound of my name, ripping one hand free in my rage. I slammed my fist into his face.
I hate you!
Hawk caught my hand, jerking it back to the ground as his bloodied lips peeled back.
Stop it!
I stopped. I went completely still as I stared up at him, the shock robbing me of my ability to speak for several moments. I saw him. I saw him for what he really was. He wasn't just any dissenter following the Dark One.
That's why you never really smiled,
I whispered. Because how could he? He had to hide the sharp, sharp teeth. Two of them. Fangs. I remembered the feel of them against my lips, my neck, recalling how oddly sharp they felt. Gods. Now I understood how he could move so fast. Why he seemed to have better hearing and eyesight than anyone I'd ever met, and why he sometimes sounded as if he'd lived decades longer than I had. It was why he was quick to break a kiss whenever I came close to feeling his canines.
I'd been so blind.
He wasn't mortal. He wasn't a wolven. Hawk was an Atlantean. I shuddered as something deep inside me withered.
You're a monster.
Hawk's eyes flared an intense gold, and they weren't normal. They'd never been natural.
You finally see me for what I am.
I did. He was a thing of nightmares hidden in the guise of a dream, and I'd fallen for it. I fell so hard. The fight went out of me. Him being a dissenter was bad enough. But an Atlantean? His people created the creatures who'd taken my mother and father from me, who'd almost killed me. Hawk seemed to sense it, because he moved swiftly, hauling me to my feet.
Delano, he called. Take her.
I was handed over like a bag of potatoes, and Delano kept my arms clamped to my sides.
Where should I put her?
Delano asked. Hawk's chest rose sharply.
Somewhere she can't escape and can't hurt herself.
He paused,
or hurt anyone else, which is more likely than the former.
Are we holding her prisoner?
Someone demanded.
We're keeping her alive? Will we feed and shelter that?
That. As if I were the monster, the one who supported the Dark One and could create Kraven. These people were beyond help.
She's the maiden,
another yelled.
She needs to die.
A round of agreement sounded, and someone else said,
Send her back to their counterfeit queen and king, just ahead, so they know what is coming for them.
From blood and ash,
shouted a young boy as he pushed to the front of the group. It was the kid from the day before, the one who had run from house to house. My legs weakened. Several voices answered,
We will rise!
No one touches her.
Hawk scanned the group in the yard, silencing them.
No one,
he repeated as he turned back.
No one but me.
The moment I saw the dank and gloomy cells under the keep and the twisted white mass of bones that covered the entire length of the ceiling, the fight in me came back. There was no way I would just allow myself to be placed somewhere it appeared people never left, not even when they died. Delano hadn't been prepared. I broke his hold and made it to the end of the hall, only to realize the sole exit was the entrance. I squared off with him, but was cornered, and with backup in the form of another who had eyes that were almost as gold as Hawk's, I was dragged into the cell that had a thin mattress on the floor, and then shackled, the cold iron snapping over my wrists. And then I was alone. I turned around, seeing no way out. The gaps in the bars were too narrow, and when I pulled on the chains, the hook they were connected to didn't budge. Panic bubbled up as I took a step back. How had this happened? How did I go from anticipating a future that would be all mine, where I controlled what I did and what happened to me, to this, to being chained in a cell, surrounded by people who wanted to chop me into pieces? I knew the answer. Hawk. The slice of agony cutting through my chest overshadowed the pain in my stomach. My throat and eyes burned. Hawk. He wasn't even mortal. He was an Atlantean. His people had created the Kravens that had become an unstoppable plague upon this land. The very same creatures who'd murdered my parents and almost killed me. He supported the Dark One, who had killed the last maiden and was after me. Hawk and the Wolven were the embodiment of anything the gods had turned against and the humans had rose up against. They were why the Ascended had been blessed by the gods. How had I not seen him for what he was? Could I be that foolish? Or was he simply that clever? Or a mixture of both? Because Hawk had been good. He'd said and done all the right things. And I'd been so desperate to make a real connection with someone, to experience life and feel alive. So desperate that anything that may have served as a warning wasn't even acknowledged. He'd come to Macedonia with one order: gain access to me. He had done that and more. Gained my friendship, my trust, my... A pulsing, pounding anger and sorrow swept through me. I wanted to scream, but the sound couldn't make it past the knot of emotion in my throat. Why did he have to do what he had? Everything he'd said and done was nothing more than clever artifice. When he told me that I was brave and strong, when he said I was beautiful, his seemingly single-minded focus hadn't been based on duty, but on orders, and I'd believed it. I'd fallen for it. Was anything true? His pain was, that much I knew, but the source of it, I could no longer be sure.
Lifting trembling hands to my face, I tucked back the hair that had escaped my braid. Why did he have to go so far, though? Why did he have to get under my skin and into my heart? I didn't just trust him. I'd given myself to him, all of me, and it had been a lie. He'd known from the beginning who I was, from the very first night in the Red Pearl, and I'd unknowingly exposed so much about myself to him. Moving to the corner of the cell, I sat on the mattress and slowly leaned against the wall, breathing out a slow, measured breath as a fiery ache sliced over my stomach. I glanced down at my right hand. The knuckles were bruised and swollen from the punch I'd delivered. My smile was quick to fade. I doubted Hawk showed any sign of injury. He was an Atlantean. My stomach tumbled. A part of me couldn't believe it. He seemed so mortal. But why should that surprise me? Atlanteans could pass for mortals, just as the Wolven could. I'd kissed an Atlantean. I'd slept with an Atlantean. I squeezed my eyes shut as bile climbed up my throat. I couldn't think about that. It made screams echo in my mind. I needed to focus. What was I going to do? This whole town was full of dissenters and Atlanteans who wanted me dead, and I couldn't be more grateful that Tawny had remained behind. Obviously, I was being held until the Dark One either arrived or sent orders. The Dark One had killed the last maiden, and here I was, captured and ready for him. I needed to get out of here, but there was no way out. I looked up, shuddering, the ropey, twining bones reminding me of the roots in the blood forest. They climbed and overlapped one another, rib cages and femurs, spines and skulls. Anyone held here had this to look at, most likely a reminder of what had happened to the prisoners housed here. Who would create such a thing? Who kept their grasp on sanity, staring at that? I didn't know how much time had passed before the door opened and footsteps approached. It had to be hours based on how empty my stomach felt. I tensed, only relaxing minutely when I saw it was Delano. He stepped up to the bars, holding out a small pouch.
Hungry?
Yes, I was, but I didn't answer. Tossing the sack in, it landed by my feet with a soft thunk. I stared at it.
It's some cheese and bread,
Delano explained.
I would have brought you some stew, but I feared you would have thrown it in my face, and the stew was too good to waste.
I looked over at him.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's not poisoned or anything.
Why would I trust anything you say?
He said no one touches you.
He leaned against the bars.
No leap of logic to assume that would also include harming you.
My lip curled. Why wait? The Dark One is going to kill me eventually. Those pale eyes met mine.
If the prince wanted you dead, you'd already be dead. You should eat.
The prince. Just because the dissenters believed Castile was the rightful heir didn't make it true. My gaze fell to the sack. I was hungry, and I needed my strength. And possibly a healer, because while the wound had stopped bleeding, it would probably get infected down here. I moved gingerly, picking up the sack. Are you going to stand there and watch me eat?
Wouldn't want you to choke.
I had the strangest urge to laugh, but I opened the pouch and ate the cheese and bread. The food settled in my empty stomach like clumps of stone. Delano didn't speak after that, neither did I, and I returned to leaning against the wall. Sometime later, the door opened once more, and I looked out, even though I didn't want to. I saw the tall, too recognizable form garbed in black, looking so much like the guard who'd teased me over Miss Willa Collins' diary. My heart squeezed as if it were captured in a fist. Hawk stopped in front of the barred door, his striking face both familiar and that of a stranger.
"Leave,"
Hawk commanded, and Delano hesitated for only a moment before he issued a curt nod and was gone. Then there was just us, separated by bars.
"Poppy,"
Hawk sighed, and I shuddered.
"What am I to do with you?"
Chapter 36.
As if he didn't already know.
"Don't call me that." Pushing to my feet, the chains clanked against the stone floor as I ignored the tender pull of skin around my wound. Standing hurt,
but I wouldn't let him see that. "But I thought you liked it when I did."
"You were mistaken," I replied, and he smirked. "What do you want?" His head tilted, and a heartbeat passed.
"More than you could ever guess."
I had no idea what he meant by that, and I didn't care, not at all. "Are you here to kill me?"
"Now, why would I do that?"
he asked. Lifting my hands, I rattled the chains.
"You have me chained." "I do."
Fury blasted me at his blasé response. "Everyone outside wants me dead."
"That's true."
"And you're an Atlantean?" I spat. "That's what you do. You kill, you destroy, you curse." He snorted.
"Ironic, coming from someone who's been surrounded by the Ascended her whole life."
"They don't murder innocents, and they don't turn people into monsters."
"No," he cut me off. "They just force young women who make them feel inferior to bear their skin to a cane and do the gods only know what else to them. Yes, Princess, they are truly upstanding examples of everything that is good and right in this world."
I sucked in a sharp breath as my lips parted. "No," I shuddered.
"No way. Did you think I wouldn't find out what the Duke's lessons were? I told you I would."
I took a step back, the humiliation of him learning the truth burning through me worse than any lashing the Duke had delivered.
"He used a cane cut from a tree in the Blood Forest, and he made you partially undress."
He grasped the bars as my heart thundered against my ribs.
"And he told you that you deserved it, that it was for your own good. But in reality, all it did was fulfill his sick need to inflict pain."
"How?" I whispered. One side of his lips curled up.
"I can be very compelling."
I looked away, and suddenly I saw the Duke in my mind's eye, his arms stretched out and the cane shoved through his heart. A tremor rocked me as my gaze swung back to Hawk. "You killed him." Hawk smiled then, and it was a smile I'd never seen from him before. It wasn't closed-lipped this time. Even from where I stood, I could see the hint of fang. Another tremor rippled through me.
"I did,"
he answered.
"And I never enjoyed watching the life seep out of someone's eyes more than I did while watching the Duke die."
I stared.
"He had it coming. And trust me when I say this, his very slow and very painful death had nothing to do with him being an Ascended. I would have gotten to the Lord eventually," he added. "But you took care of that sick bastard yourself."
I didn't know what to think of that. He'd killed the Duke, and he would have killed the Lord because... Cutting off those thoughts, I shook my head. I couldn't understand why he would have felt driven to do what he'd done, considering where we stood now. I didn't need to understand. At least that's what I told myself. It didn't matter. Neither did the deep, hidden part of me that was thrilled to know that there was a possibility that what he'd done to me had played a part in the Duke's ultimate demise. Just because the Duke and the Lord were horrible and evil, that doesn't make you any better, I told him. That doesn't make all Ascended guilty.
You know absolutely nothing, Poppy. My hands curled into fists as I resisted the urge to shriek. But then he unlocked the door. Every muscle in me tensed. I glared at him as he entered the cell. I wished there was some sort of weapon, though I knew even if I was armed to the teeth, there would be very little I could do. He was faster, stronger, and he could take me with the flick of his wrist, but I would go down fighting.
"You and I need to talk," he said as he closed the doors behind him.
"No, we don't."
"Well, you really don't have a choice, do you?"
His gaze dropped to the cuffs around my wrists. He took a step toward me and then halted. His nostrils flared as the pupils of his eyes dilated.
"You're injured."
My blood. He scented my blood. Mouth dry, I stepped back. "I'm fine."
"No, you're not."
His gaze swept over me, stopping at my midsection.
"You're bleeding."
"Barely," I told him. Within the blink of an eye, he was directly in front of me. Gasping, I stumbled against the wall. How had he hidden such speed before? He reached for the hem of my tunic, and panic exploded.
"Don't touch me!"
I sidestepped him, wincing as pain radiated up my side. He stiffened, staring down at me as my heart slammed against my ribs.
"Don't!"
He arched a brow.
"You had no problem with me touching you last night."
Heat swamped my skin as my lips pulled back in a snarl. "That was a mistake."
"Was it?"
"Yes," I hissed. "I wish it never happened."
Gods, that was the truth.
I wanted nothing more than to forget how what we'd done had felt beautiful and life-altering, how it had felt so incredibly right. I was a fool. His jaw hardened, and a long moment passed.
"Be that as it may, you are still wounded, Princess, and you will allow me to look at it."
Breathing heavily, I lifted my chin. "And if I don't?" His laugh reminded me of before, but now it was tinged with cold amusement.
"As if you could stop me,"
he stated softly, and the truth of what he said was soul-shattering.
"You can either allow me to help you, or..."
My fingers tingled from how tightly I'd balled my hands into fists. "Or you will force me?" Hawk said nothing. A burn started in my chest as I stared back at him, hating myself for feeling what I'd promised I would never feel again. Helpless. I could refuse and make this very difficult, but what good would that do in the end? He would overpower me, and all I would accomplish is further injuring myself. I was furious enough to do just that. But I wasn't stupid. Looking away, I forced a long breath out of my lungs. "Why do you even care if I bleed to death?"
"Why do you think I would want you dead? If I did, why wouldn't I have agreed to what was demanded outside?"
he asked, and my head jerked back to him.
"You're no good to me dead."
"So I'm your hostage until the Dark One gets here. You all planned to use me against the king and queen."
"Clever girl,"
he murmured.
"You are the queen's favorite maiden."
I didn't know why, and I didn't want it to, but the knowledge that he wanted to tend to my wound only because he planned to use me stung profoundly.
"Will you let me check you now?"
I gave him no answer because what he'd said wasn't truly a question. There was no choice.
He seemed to be satisfied that I understood, because he reached for me,
and this time my body went rigid, but I didn't move. Hawk's hands curled around the hem of the dark tunic. He lifted the cloth, and I bit down on the inside of my cheek when the backs of his knuckles brushed over my lower stomach and hip. Had he done that on purpose? I stared at his glossy dark waves as he continued inching the shirt up. He stopped just below my breasts, exposing what was likely to leave yet another scar,
if I lived that long.
because after I served whatever purpose they had in mind, I doubted I'd be released. It made no sense for that to occur. Hawk stared at me, at the bloody, seeping cut, for too long. My pulse picked up, and I could too easily recall how his teeth, no, his fangs, had felt against my skin. I shivered. Was it revulsion? Fear? A leftover, unwanted sensation that the memory triggered? Maybe all of them. I had no idea.
Gods,
he said, his voice guttural as thick lashes lifted and his gaze met mine. His cheekbones seemed sharper as shadows blossomed under them.
You could have been disemboweled.
You've always been so observant. He ignored that comment as he stared down at me like I was nothing more than a silly girl.
Why didn't you say anything? This could become infected.
It took everything in me to keep my arms at my sides. Well, there really wasn't a lot of time, considering you were busy betraying me. His eyes narrowed.
That's no excuse.
I barked out a harsh laugh and wondered if I was already developing a fever. Of course not. Silly me, for not realizing that the person who had a hand in murdering the people I care about, who betrayed me and made plans with the one who helped to slaughter my family to use me for some nefarious means, would care that I was wounded. Those amber eyes turned luminous, filling with a golden fire. His features turned stark, and goosebumps pimpled my skin. Ice hit my veins at the slow reminder that he was not, as I'd always assumed, mortal. I refused to shrink back, even though I wanted to run.
Always so brave, he murmured.
He let go of my shirt and turned away, calling out to Delano, who apparently hadn't gone too far because he was in front of the cell within seconds. I leaned against the wall, quiet as Hawk waited for Delano to return with the items he'd requested. The fact that he kept his back to me for so long said everything I needed to know about whether or not he viewed me as a threat. Delano appeared with a basket, and it made me wonder exactly why such things were kept handy. My gaze flickered over the cell. Were they in the business of keeping their prisoners healthy? Better yet, was this where all the Ascended and the Lord from the Keep ended up? When Hawk faced me, we were once again alone. Why don't you lie? He glanced around the cell, his gaze centering on the threadbare mattress, as if he just realized there was no bed. His shoulders tensed.
Why don't you lie down?
I'm fine standing, thanks. Impatience brimmed just under the surface as he stalked toward me, basket in hand.
Would you rather I get on my knees?
A terrible razor-sharp smile pulled at my lips as I started to agree.
I don't mind.
His gaze dropped as he bit down on his lower lip.
Doing so would put me at a perfect height for something I know you'd enjoy. After all, I'm always craving honeydew.
Air punched out of my lungs in shock, but anger quickly crashed into it. I peeled away from the wall, hurrying to the cot. I sat down slower than I stood as I shot him an icy stare. You're repulsive. Chuckling under his breath, he walked over to the cot and knelt.
If you say so.
I know so. A half grin appeared as he placed the basket on the floor. A quick glance showed there were bandages and tiny jars. Nothing that could be fashioned into an ineffective weapon. He gestured for me to recline. And after muttering a curse, I did as he requested.
Language, he murmured.
And when he reached for my tunic once more, I lifted it myself.
Thank you.
I gritted my teeth. A small smile appeared as he shifted onto his knees, pulling a clear bottle from the basket. He unscrewed the lid, and a bitter, sharp scent hit the musty air.
I want to tell you a story, he said.
His brows lowered as he eyed the wound. I'm not in the mood for story time. I gasped as he took hold of my shirt.
I gripped his wrist with both hands, barely feeling the cold of the chain against my stomach.
What are you doing?
The blade damn near ripped out your ribcage, he said, eyes flashing an unholy gold once more. It extends up the side of your ribs. The wound wasn't that bad, but it did crawl up my side. I'm guessing this happened when the sword was wrestled from you, he asked. I didn't answer. And when I didn't let go of his wrists, I expected him to simply break my hold, but instead he sighed.
Believe it or not, I'm not trying to undress you so I can take advantage of you. I'm not here to seduce you, princess.
What should have come as a relief had the opposite effect. The burn in my chest crept into my throat, forming a knot I could barely breathe around as I stared up at him. Of course he wasn't trying to seduce me. Not since he'd already succeeded in doing so, getting me to not only let my guard down, but also to trust him. I'd opened up to him, shared with him my dreams of becoming something else, my dread of returning to the capital and, oh gods, my gift. I'd shared so much more than words. I'd let him into my room, into my bed, and then into me. He'd whispered that my touch had consumed him, and he'd worshipped my body, my scars. He'd told me they made me even more beautiful, and I'd liked him. I'd done more than just like him. Gods, I'd fallen for him, even though it was forbidden. I'd fallen for him enough that I knew deep down it had played a role in my decision to tell the queen that I would refuse the ascension. A tremor coursed through my fingers as the burn in my throat filled the backs of my eyes.
Was any of it true?
The question erupted from me in a hoarse voice I barely recognized. And the moment the words were set free, I wanted to take them back because I already knew the answer. Hawk went as still as the statues that had adorned the foyer in Castle Tierman. I jerked my hands away. A muscle ticked in his jaw as his lips remained pressed firmly together. A ragged, brittle sob climbed up my throat, and it took everything in me to keep it inside. That did very little to ease the shame that sat in the center of my chest, like a hot coal.
I will not cry. I will not cry.
Unable to look at him any longer, I closed my eyes. It didn't help. I immediately saw how he'd gazed at me, lips swollen and glossy. Anger and shame and deep hurt I'd never experienced before pricked at my eyelids. I felt his hands move then, carefully lifting the tunic, stopping short of exposing my entire chest. This time, his knuckles didn't brush my skin, and like before, even in the dim light, I knew the paler, almost shiny patches of scarred flesh were visible, especially to the eyes of an Atlantean. Last night, I'd disrobed for him and had let him look his fill, believing what he'd said. He'd been so convincing, and my stomach churned at the thought of what he must have really thought, how he must have really felt when he touched the scars. Kissed them. He spoke into the silence then, startling me.
This may burn.
I thought his voice sounded gruffer than normal, but then I felt him lean closer, and the first splash of lukewarm liquid hit the wound. Air hissed through my teeth as scorching pain lanced the right side of my stomach and up my ribs. The bitter astringent scent rose as the liquid bubbled in the cut. And I welcomed the sting, focusing on it instead of the throbbing ache in my chest. Tipping my head back, I kept my eyes closed as more liquid splashed along the injury, creating more foam and sending another wave of pain shuddering across my midsection.
Sorry about that,
he muttered, and I almost believed that he was.
It will need to sit for a bit. To burn out any infection that may have already been making its way in there. Great. Maybe it would burn through my stupid heart. Silence fell, but it didn't last long.
The Kraven were our fault, he said, startling me. Their creation, that is. All of this, the monsters in the mist, the war, what has become of this land, you, us, it all started with an incredibly desperate, foolish act of love many, many centuries before the War of Two Kings.
I know, I said, clearing my throat. I know the history.
But do you know the true history?
I know the only history. My eyes opened, and I shifted my gaze away from the chains and twisted bones.
You know only what the Ascended have led everyone to believe, and it is not the truth.
He reached over, plucking up the chain that crossed a part of my stomach. I tensed as he carefully moved it aside.
My people have lived alongside mortals in harmony for thousands of years, but then King Omir Malek
created the Kraven. I cut him off.
Like I said, you're wrong.
He shifted so he sat back, one leg drawn up and his arm resting on his knee.
King Malek fell hopelessly in love with a mortal woman. Her name was Isbeth. Some say it was Queen Iloana who poisoned her. Others claim it was a jilted lover of the king's who stabbed her, because he apparently had quite the history of being unfaithful. But either way, she was mortally wounded. As I said, Malek was desperate to save her. He committed the forbidden act of ascending her, what you know as the Ascension.
My heart lodged somewhere in my throat, next to the messy knot of emotion. His gaze lifted and met mine.
Yes, Isbeth was the first to ascend, not your false king and queen. She became the first Vampire.
Lies! Utter unbelievable lies!
Malek drank from her, only stopping once he felt her heart begin to fail. And then he shared his blood with her.
His head tilted, those golden eyes glittering.
Perhaps if your act of ascension wasn't so well guarded, the finer details wouldn't come as such a surprise to you. I started to sit up, but remembered the wound and the fizzing liquid.
Ascension is a blessing from the gods.
He smirked. It is far from that. More like an act that can either create near immortality or make nightmares come true. We Atlanteans are born nearly mortal and remain so until the culling.
The culling? I asked before I could stop myself.
It's when we change.
His upper lip curled and the tip of his tongue prodded a sharp canine.
I knew this. It was in the history books. The fangs appear, lengthening only when we feed, and we change in other ways.
How? Curiosity had seized me, and I figured that whatever I could learn would help if I managed to get out of this.
That's not important.
He reached for a cloth.
We may be harder to kill than the Ascended, but we can be killed,
he went on. I also knew that. Atlanteans could be killed just like a Kraven could.
We age slower than mortals, and if we take care, we can live for thousands of years.
I wanted to point out everything was important, especially how Atlanteans changed in other ways. But curiosity got the best of me. How old are you?
Older than I look.
Hundreds of years older? I asked.
I was born after the war,
he answered.
I've seen 2 centuries come and go.
2 centuries? Gods!
King Malek created the first Vampire. They are a part of all of us, but they are not like us. Daylight does not affect us, not like it does the Vampire.
Tell me, which of the Ascended have you ever seen in the daylight?
They do not walk in the sun because the gods do not, I answered. That is how they honor them.
How convenient for them, then.
Hawk's smirk turned smug.
Vampires may be blessed with the closest possible thing to immortality, like us, but they cannot walk in daylight without their skin starting to decay. You want to kill an ascended without getting your hands dirty? Lock them outside with no possible shelter. They'll be dead before noon.
That couldn't be true. The ascended chose not to go in the sun.
They also need to feed, and by feed, I'm talking about blood. They need to do so frequently to live, to prevent whatever mortal wounds or illnesses they suffered before they ascended from returning. They cannot procreate, not after the ascension, and many experience bloodlust when they feed, often killing mortals in the process.
He dabbed the cloth along the wound, careful not to exert too much pressure as he soaked up the settled liquid.
Atlanteans do not feed on mortals.
Whatever, I snapped. You expect me to truly believe that? His gaze lifted to mine.
Mortal blood offers us nothing of any real value because we were never mortal, princess. Wolven don't need to feed, but we do. We feed when we need to, on other Atlanteans.
I shook my head. How could he honestly expect me to believe that? Their treatment of mortals, how they virtually used them as cattle, is what drove the gods to abandon them, and for the mortal populace to revolt.
We can use our blood to heal a mortal without turning them, something a vampire cannot do. But the most important difference is the creation of the craven. An Atlantean has never created one. The vampires have. And in case you haven't been following along, the vampires are what you know as the ascended.
That's a lie. My hands balled uselessly at my side.
It is the truth.
Brows lowered in concentration as he peered down at the wound. He glanced up at me only when he laid the cloth aside.
A vampire cannot make another vampire. They cannot complete the ascension. When they drain a mortal, they create a craven.
What you're saying makes no sense.
How does it not?
Because if any part of what you're saying is true, then the ascended are vampires, and they cannot do the ascension.
Anger burned through my chest, worse than the liquid he'd used to clean out my wound.
If that's true, then how have they made other ascended, like my brother?
His jaw hardened, his eyes turning glacial. Because it's not the ascended who are giving the gift of life. They are using an Atlantean to do so.
I coughed out a harsh laugh.
The ascended would never work with an Atlantean. Did I misspeak? I don't believe I did. I said they are using an Atlantean, not working with one.
He picked up a jar, screwing off the lid.
When King Malek's peers discovered what he'd done, he lifted the laws that forbade the act of ascending. As more vampires were created, many were unable to control their bloodlust. They drained many of their victims, creating the pestilence known as the Craven, who swept across the kingdom like a plague. The Queen of Atlantia, Queen Iloana, tried to stop it. She made the act of ascension forbidden once more and ordered all vampires destroyed in an act to protect mankind.
I watched as he dipped his hand into the jar and then set it aside. A thick, milky white substance covered his long fingers. I recognized the smell. It was the same salve that had been used on me before.
Yarrow?
He nodded.
Among other things, that will help speed up your healing.
I jerked as the chilled ointment touched my skin. Hawk spread the mixture over my stomach, warming the balm and my flesh, and then me. My knuckles began to ache as an unwanted shiver of awareness skated over my skin.
He betrayed you,
I reminded myself. He played you. I hated him. I did. The knot in my throat expanded even as a heady flush swept through me. Hawk seemed to be entirely focused on what he was doing, and that was a blessing. I didn't want him to see how his touch affected me.
The vampires revolted,
he said, after scooping out more of the ointment.
That is what triggered the War of Two Kings. It was not mortals fighting back against cruel, inhuman Atlanteans, but vampires fighting back.
My gaze flew from his hand to his face. Some of what he said felt familiar, but it was a twisted, darker version of what I knew to be true.
The death toll from the war was not exaggerated. In fact, many people believe the numbers were far higher. We weren't defeated, Princess. King Malek was overthrown, divorced, and exiled. Queen Iloana remarried, and the new king, King Danir, pulled their forces back, called their people home, and ended a war that was destroying this world.
And what happened to Malek and Isbeth? I asked, even though I didn't believe much of what he'd said.
Your records say that Malek was defeated in battle, but the truth is, no one knows. He and his mistress simply disappeared,
Hawk claimed, returning the lid to the jar. The vampires gained control of the remaining lands, anointing their own king and queen, Jalara and Iliana, and renamed it the Kingdom of Solus.
They called themselves the Ascended, used our gods, who'd long since gone to sleep, as a reason for why they became the way they did.
In the hundreds of years that have passed since, they've managed to scrub the truth from history that the vast majority of mortals actually fought alongside the Atlanteans against the common threat of vampires.
I couldn't even speak for what felt like an entire minute.
None of that sounds believable.
I imagine it is hard to believe that you belong to a society of murderous monsters who take the third daughters and sons during the rite to feed upon. And if they don't drain them dry, they become—
What? I gasped, my disbelief turning to anger. You have spent this entire time telling me nothing but falsehoods, but now you've gone too far. Placing a clean bandage on the wound, he smoothed down the edges until it adhered to my skin. I've told you nothing but the truth, as did the man who threw the craven hand. I sat up, tugging down my shirt.
Are you claiming that those given in service to the gods are now craven?
Why do you think the temples are off limits to anyone but the Ascended and those they control, like the priests and priestesses?
Because they're sacred places that even most Ascended don't breach,
I argued.
Have you seen one child that has been given over? Just one, Princess. Do you know anyone other than a priest or priestess or an Ascended who has claimed to have seen one?
You're smart. You know no one has,
he challenged.
That's because most are dead before they even learn to speak.
I opened my mouth.
The vampires need a food source, Princess, one that would not rouse suspicion. What better way than to convince an entire kingdom to hand over their children under the pretense of honoring the gods? They've created a religion around it, such that brothers will turn on brothers if any of them refuse to give away their child. They have fooled an entire kingdom,